Clark expedition need to be studied more, excuse me, and their contributions more celebrated. Native Americans put their dead in funerary canoes and put those canoes in oak trees right here. Friends of Baltimore Woods just applied for a Metro grant to study this proposed William Clark, York, and Multnomah Chinook Memorial Trail. A huge parking structure visible for miles would contradict any message of sensitivity to the past. And I'm going to skip. We beg you to vote against this resolution and to facilitate a healthy master planning process with the University of Portland. Thank you very much.
Thank you all very much. Next three.
Our Fletcher Tripp, Bob Solinger, and Matt Kruger. They'll be followed by Pat L., Andrew Nothy, and Tim Biare.
Hello, I'm Fletcher Tripp. I'm an 8-year resident of University Park. I've been 7 years on the board, and I just started my fourth term as the chair. We, as a neighborhood association, support the university on this. It's not 100%, as in anything is 100% in Portland. What we see as problems in the neighborhood, as people have said, is the parking is one thing, and this might alleviate it. It might not. We hope that the university, with the parking structure, that will open up land above for them to build dorms, to open up green spaces and get rid of surface parking lots. Those are some of our hopes. I'd like to address, the university has worked on parking issues with us. In 2004, I became aware of their plan to build a building there. We had a, when they decided to put in lights at night, we went to the Planning Commission, and one of the things that they had us do was work out a transportation deal with the university. This is when they started having flaggers to flag people to go onto campus instead of into the neighborhood, and it has alleviated some of the problems. But as more and more events happen, it does have a detrimental effect, especially on Harvard and Yale. But those streets also have turned more into university housing, which we'd like to see go back more to single-family homes. I want to say that also the river plan is not just an environmental, it is an economic, as you've heard today. And the university, all our land that's in our neighborhood has gone out of industrial, which I can't say I'm sad about. McCormick and Baxter has been fixed, which was a creosote factory for almost 100 years. And where the triangle property was Rydell, which built barges. If you ever go up to the St. John's Starbucks, look on the wall, there's a picture of when the factory was there for the energy plant, and there are no trees at all on the bluff there. 100 years ago, it was all cleared out, and it was used for, whatever, and there was houses and stuff. But what we see as a net gain for the neighborhood, a way for us to connect to the river and for North Portland and the entire city to connect to the river, it'll be one of the few places where it's not heavily industrial, that for the north, when you go all the way to Kelly Point, is where you get a natural area where you'll have it here in our neighborhood, a walkable, neighborhood, instead of Cathedral Park, not like an official park. So we're excited about that. I just want to say one more thing. The university has not always had good terms with the neighborhood, but I feel like they've been working really hard over the last couple of years to reach out to us. Maybe others in other neighborhoods haven't had it as much as we have, but I feel like they have made an effort, and I have not had any negative opinions of the university at this time. I also just want to say one more thing. The Gateway site is located at McCosh in Portsmouth. It might future become, they see the gateway structure, the gateway to the campus, maybe the halfway point. And the interesting thing about McCosh is when the Methodists laid out the university, James McCosh is from a philosopher. He was a president of Princeton, and he also reconciled evolution with divine design. And he was a part of what they call the Scottish School of Common Sense. Mm-hmm. And he argued that common sense beliefs govern the lives and the thoughts even of those who avow non-commonsensical beliefs, and that matters of common sense are within the reach of common understanding. And I hope that we all can come to common understanding on this issue.
I'll let you go longer because that's a good quote.
Yeah.
By the way, Mr. Tripp, I think you sent to each of us electronically a statement
yes.
on behalf of the Neighborhood Association.
So yes, we did.
That'll be part of the record.
Thank you very much.
Welcome back.
Good afternoon again. Bob Solinger, Portland Audubon Society. I can't add much to the eloquent testimony that was already given by the first three people that testified. Audubon does not support moving forward with this. We do believe that it's unfortunate that the city did not look for other alternatives and go through that process. We do believe other alternatives exist. We think it's going to be very, very difficult for the university to protect the mitigation site. It's one thing to protect a steep bluff. It's another thing to protect something that's on the flatlands and is surrounded by intense human activity. We think that, you know, the bluff is really a defining feature. I was just looking at a map of wildlife corridors in the metropolitan region, and this is one of the ones that looms large. It's one of the only ones that's left. You know, we think people going up and down this river, it's going to be a long-term embarrassment for both the university and the city. What you're going to see is a parking garage sitting in what used to be a wildlife corridor. Now, that being said, I do want to give a lot of credit to the city and the university for the mitigation package that they did put together. They've done an outstanding job. This is the kind of mitigation that we do expect to see in these development agreements. It does stand in stark contrast to the next one that's coming before you, Siltronics, where we don't think the city really got value. In this case, the city got value. The university stepped up, and staff did a really good job. Just want to address a couple of things very quickly. We did work with the city and staff on a couple of issues that we feel have been resolved. I outlined those in my letter. I wanted to address Commissioner Fish's comment about the long-term mitigation. That's really important. That's outstanding. This will take a long time to establish, and as I said earlier, we destroy resources and mitigate for them, and then those mitigation sites more often than not don't work. This is a way to guarantee, especially with oaks, that it will work. And so we applaud the city and the university for going that step. I think that's absolutely a critical piece and a good precedent to be setting, that we're going to keep an eye on these things and realize that if we're going to give away these sites and get things in exchange, that they really need to be permanent and sustained. The one thing I would ask you to take a look at in the university is there's a giant sea overlay still in place south of where the development footprint is. That, in my understanding, is to accommodate the road because the road may move. You know, assuming this development agreement goes forward, we don't have a problem with that. What we want to make sure, though, is that there is an additional development in that C zone, because that C zone will provide connectivity. If it does get developed down the road, it will bisect the bluff. And so we just would ask you and the university to make sure that it's clear that the C zone's there to accommodate perhaps road movement back and forth as the site develops, but that there's no other major development that is going to intrude into that area. And if that could be included, that would be a big help. So thank you.
Thank you. Hi, welcome.
Thanks. Good afternoon. Thanks for this opportunity. My name is Matt Krieger. I live in the University Park neighborhood. I want to start by addressing something that Fletcher mentioned. To be clear, the UPNA did not vote to support this. There was discussion on both sides. I attended our October 25th meeting, and there was no motion or official vote. So I'd ask that letter be removed from the record without any formal process through Neighbor Association. Moving on from that, I support the university's plans to expand into the lower campus. However, I'm here today to express my strong opposition to the agreement between the city and the university that would remove the section of conservation overlay zone and allow the university's future proposed gateway facility to be built on the slope. My concerns are as follows. It is absolutely unacceptable that no alternatives analysis was required. Allowing the university to bypass this crucial part of project development is wrong. There are other places on campus that the parking facility could be built, including the existing parking lot and baseball field, which will be moved to the lower campus in the university's proposed plan. Why allow the university to go straight to the option with the most damaging impacts when no other serious consideration for other alternatives was taken? In listening to university representatives, I hear this claim that the structure is necessary for expansion into the future lower campus. The truth is that there are other connection ideas that have not been explored. There are currently two streets, vehicular access points down to the lower campus. Pedestrian stairs and ADA ramps could be built in an environmentally sensitive manner, and these options would create far less of an impact than a five-story structure built on the slope. The mitigation plan might look nice on paper, and I agree it's a nice effort, but how do we know it will truly provide the same ecological function? Simply planting a certain number of trees or improving a certain square footage of area doesn't necessarily mean the loss is mitigated. The entire slope of the bluff is severed in the proposed plan for this facility. Attempting to reattach the corridor by linking a strip of mitigation around the garage at the bottom of the slope seems like a mere band-aid to me. Also consider that much of the mitigation area is sandwiched between this proposed structure and the future facilities proposed for lower campus. How will these plantings truly be protected for the future? I've also read and heard that this will be the, quote, first Oregon white oak habitat creation in Portland area. This is misleading. The city has worked to restore oak habitat along much of the bluff and is currently creating new oak habitat on Powell Butte. The city is actively planting hundreds of oaks to restore oak habitat through its Greater Green Initiative. Therefore, this attempt to shine the mitigation plan and calling it the first or one-of-a-kind fails. The bluff is an invaluable ecological resource, a remnant environmental corridor in the city. Removing the conservation overlay zone would be in direct opposition to the City of Portland's substantial efforts to protect and restore the bluff. Much of the bluff's length has been reclaimed from past degradation thanks to the city. In this day when we fight so hard to protect such areas, please do not allow further degradation of the bluff. If the zoning is lifted and the proposed structure is built, the section will be lost forever. Can I have 30 more seconds to make my closing statement?
Sure.
Council members, I ask that you vote against this development agreement, leaving the conservation overlay zone in place. Please ask the university to explore other options to accommodate their parking needs. If this proposed structure is built, it will no doubt have significant negative ecological impacts and be a significant blemish on the city's efforts to protect our natural environment. Thank you for your time and consideration and the extra 30 seconds.
You're welcome. Thank you all for your testimony.
The next three are Pat L., Andrew Nothe, and Tim Breyer.
How many more do we have after that?
Two more, Carvel Cook and Mark Kennedy.
Hi, welcome to City Council. You need to give us your first and last name, no addresses, and tell us if you're representing anybody or yourself.
My name is Tim Breyer. I represent myself. I'm a resident of North Portland, about a block away from the university. Been a resident for about 9 years. And I disagree with an earlier statement that was made that the university does not reach out to its neighborhood neighbors. We receive many flyers that are sent to our house and notification of many events that are going on. And I personally believe that the university is a great neighbor. If we look at the history of the university, University of Portland, that actually, the name says it all. It helps define what Portland is. For over 100 years, the university has been with us long before any of us were here, or maybe as long as what was the year 2060 or that we're looking at. It'll still be here. I think what we need to keep sight of with this is that the university is an education facility. So when we look at what these areas are going to be used for, it's for education. Let's look at the history of the students that have come out of the university, not only to be city leaders here in Portland, but also nationwide and worldwide. I think it's important that we keep that consideration and look at what the university means towards North Portland. Some of the things that occur at the university that I'm aware of the recycling programs, the beautiful campus. This is a private institution that has really gone the extra effort to reach out to the neighborhood and create one of the most beautiful destinations in Portland, in North Portland. And I ask that you approve their plan and take consideration on an organization that really is a benefit towards North Portland and the city of Portland. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Hi.
Good afternoon. My name is Andrew Nate. I am a homeowner in University Park neighborhood. I support the development agreement. It's my understanding that the Neighborhood Association supports it too, whether or not that was a formal vote, but there was support from that meeting. The university supported the river plan and supported the location of nearly 10 acres of environmental zoning onto its campus, onto the river campus. In light of the support, asking to remove a little over an acre of zoning to accommodate critical development, I think is a fair request, especially since the university is not removing the resource area but relocating it to an area where it can better connect the wildlife corridor to the west and to the east. Under this plan, we end up with more and better resource options than before the plan was amended. To the opponents of the plan, I would caution against skepticism. I live in this neighborhood. The neighborhood has a long history with the university. The university is a good neighbor, and this is a good plan. Please adopt it. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Hi.
You did well. Hello, my name is Pat L. I'm also a North Portland resident. I've lived there for 17 years. In fact, my dad grew up on, I live on Chautauqua. I've actually seen you drive by our house sometimes. My dad grew up on Wellesley. My grandparents owned a bar on Lombard. You slow down. Thank you. Slowly. And my great-grandparents lived on Burridge. I have a lot of cousins, and I'm very heavily invested in my neighborhood. I coach soccer, basketball, chess. Regular, active person in the neighborhood. I support the plan. I think that the university has been a good neighbor. In the whole room, I think I may be one of the few people who's actually gone swimming on the property in question. Maybe not the best idea for a Superfund site. But right now, it's a somewhat of a wasteland. And I appreciate the university trying to make a fair plan that enhances our neighborhood and also addresses the environmental concerns. So I think that you should vote for the plan. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you all.
Thank you.
Two more?
With three more, Carvel Cook, Mark Kennedy, and Christy White.
Thanks for your perseverance. Glad you're here. Carvel?
Yes.
Why don't you go ahead?
Good afternoon. I support this plan. I live in the University Park. I've had a home there for about 7 years. And the way I see it, I see no alternative would have less impact on the bluff than this plan. The development of the Gateway site will not require the removal of even one oak tree, and yet the mitigation plan calls for planting with 350 trees. This area of the bluff is not a great in such great resource of shape. It's largely devoid of trees. It's already partially developed with a road, sitting area, and retaining wall. The wildlife corridor will be enhanced by the connecting corridor of this location further from the hustle and bustle of the campus on top of the bluff. And as a neighbor, I look forward to the development of this Gateway site with a view across the river and the river connection to the river campus. Thank you for this time.
Thanks for your testimony. Hi.
Hi. My name is Mark Kennedy. I'm a resident of North Portland. The neighborhood, University Park neighborhood. I've lived there for about 15 years. I moved from the Midwest, and I'm also an environmental engineer. So I kind of like to talk to this project from an aspect as a neighbor and as a concerned engineer for the environment. And I support this project. I think in the 15 years I've been here, what's happened? Let's see, we've had a fire, a movie, a Superfund on this site. I've eaten lots of blackberries down there, and I see that as a tremendous invasive species that, you know, in other words, as you said, it's been sort of a wasteland, and now I see there's no perfect project as an engineer. You have pros and cons, and you have to evaluate everything, but I see now a project that can really be a win-win where we can take what has, I mean, I picture if the university weren't there, what would happen in the future? Nothing. With the university there, we can develop this project that will, I think, enhance the environment, enhance the neighborhood, and truly be a project that in the future I'll love to see a bikeway, the North Portland Greenway, go through there and be a part of this. And I envision a beautiful, sustainable green building that will enhance the area, much like the university has been building of lately, the beautifully new Shiley Hall that was a platinum LEED building. And so I don't think we have to view this as a negative to the environment. I view this as a positive, as an improvement with the mitigation, the almost 5-to-1 ratio. To me as an engineer, as an environmental engineer, I see this as a really great project, and I support it. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. White?
Christy White again for the University of Portland. I was just going to add a couple of thoughts about the larger context. The University of Portland actually supports the river plan, the larger river plan, and also supports all of the acres of environmental zoning that were placed on this property, both mid-campus along the bluff as well as along the river. What we asked to do was just remove a small portion of that EC zoning from the bluff in its entirety, and we kind of lost that argument last time in front of you, and in exchange you said we'll remove it only if you mitigate to the EC zone standards. We entered those discussions then and agreed to that and entered those discussions with staff, assuming that we would reach agreement on mitigating for the EC zone standards because we're familiar with those standards. But I have to say that the staff at the City of Portland inspired us, as well as Bob Salinger inspiring us to think a little more outside of the box. And on our various trips on the property, learning from Mary Bushman on your staff what a southern aspect is for an oak and why it won't work there and it will work here, and the incredible knowledge base that Paul Ketchum and Mary Bushman and Mindy and others brought to the proposal kind of gained momentum and got us all inspired. Bob Salinger's comments about, you know, it's great that the University of Portland does LEED design, but guess what the problem with LEED design is? It doesn't consider bird mortality. So he gave us great examples of buildings that have beautiful glass curtain walls that are so well done, they reflect the forest so well that the birds think it is the forest and they run into it. And so the additions to this proposal with regards to those issues and being careful that we don't make those kind of same mistakes while we're just meeting flat LEED standards are going to make the project a better project. So we're thankful for all of that participation. The question that was raised about the remaining C overlay, of course, the C overlay was on the property. I don't know if it was placed at Planning Commission or later at City Council. Bob Salinger is right. That C overlay is there, as we discussed in back, because there's an existing road that crisscrosses there. And the anticipated use is to be able to use that road as an access to one-third of the campus. We don't anticipate any building development, but we also know that we're going, if we did anything like that, we have an environmental conservation review and alternatives analysis. The last thing I'll say with time running out is that the university actually attended the UPNA meeting, and my understanding is that the university asked for a vote, and there was a formal hand-raising and not hand-raising of the people either asking to whether they supported it or opposed it, and that majority vote came out in favor of the plan. That's my understanding. So with that, I'd ask you to accept this development agreement as was amended, and we can move forward with the mitigation.
Thank you. Thank you all very much for your testimony. All right. We will now move to 1511, unless council wants to talk to staff, about 1510. Who's making a presentation on 1511? Hi. Understand we've got a Scribner's cleanup to do?
We do.
Why don't we take care of that? And if you could describe what we're looking at by way of a substitution or amendment.
Sure. My name is Diane Hale. I work at the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. Based on legal advice, we would like to propose a minor amendment authorizing the mayor to sign the conservation easement. This would be on page 3 of the ordinance.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion about it? Carla, can you please call the roll on the amendment?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Amendment is approved.
Thank you. Mayor, members of the council, as you know, we've been working on this project for quite some time now. Key milestones in the Siltronic project to date: in April of this year, you adopted a memorandum of understanding that outlined the basic agreement. And then in June, you authorized a development agreement between the city and Siltronic Corporation. That was then signed at the end of June by the Siltronic Corporation in the city. Today, we're coming back to you with one of the follow-up actions. It's a conservation easement instrument that outlines the terms of the actual easement area. This easement instrument is based directly on the terms of the development agreement. And as I said, it is one of the follow-up actions needed before the DA can become effective. The basic agreement is that Siltronic will donate an approximately 7-acre conservation easement to the city.
and the city will reduce the environmental overlay zoning on parts of the vacant portion of the Siltronic site that were proposed in the River Plan North Reach. This agreement helps achieve several goals of the River Plan North Reach. Doan Creek is identified as one of the key priority restoration sites in the plan, and as Paul Ketchum mentioned earlier, it's one of the first sites that will receive restoration. So the city plans to restore the area to improve fish and wildlife habitat. Reducing the environmental overlay zones provides Siltronic with greater development certainty. And with this action, they feel they will be able to respond more quickly to redevelopment opportunities on the vacant portions of the site, which will help fulfill the economic development goals in the harbor.
So is it fair to say that this chosen as a temporary mitigation site as part of the temporary in lieu of mitigation effort that we heard about, and another aspect of the set of proposals will help unlock the rest of the site for economic uses?
I would agree with that. Mm-hmm. Yes. So specifically, the conservation easement instrument outlines, again, the terms of what can and cannot be done in the easement area. Siltronic cannot do a variety of things outlined in Section 3. Among those, it cannot subdivide the easement, cannot build permanent structures or roads. They cannot alter land, water, or cause erosion, or remove trees or other vegetation. Siltronic is allowed to do certain activities in the easement area prior to, during, and after expansion on the vacant portions of the site. Some of those include access to key facilities, including the gravel road, the utility corridor, and monitoring wells, repair and maintenance of facilities such as fences and the monitoring wells, and also installation of new monitoring wells, storage of construction equipment during the construction phase, and security and emergency vehicle access are among the activities that they're allowed to do. Other key elements of the easement agreement include that the Siltronic is required to restore any part of the easement area that is disturbed to a condition equal to or better than the condition of the resources at the time of disturbance. The city can conduct restoration at any time in the easement area, and the city also has the right to move the gravel road out of the easement area that is currently located there. And future construction is allowed subject to specific limitations in the easement. So next steps for this process. One more action needs to take place before the development agreement can go into effect. ESEE amendments need to be adopted that support the revised environmental zoning maps, the C and P overlay zones. The ESEE cannot be amended while the river plan is under appeal, so staff will return with those amendments when LUBA resolves the issue. The agreement would then become effective once those amendments are adopted. And then another follow-up action is that Environmental Services will work with Siltronic and the public to develop a conceptual restoration plan that will guide restoration in the future.
Okay. Discussion, questions from council? All right. Anyone wish to testify on 1511?
We have two people signed up, Kurt Schneider and Bob Solinger.
Solinger. Hi, Kurt.
Took my shirt off. You see, I'm representing MP Greenwood.
Oh, nice.
Thank you. Okay, new hat.
Thank you again. I'm here representing MP Greenway, the folks that advocated trail from the East Bank Esplanade to Kelly Point Park. The last photo there showed a picture of the bridge with Siltronic. Do you have that picture in front of you?
Yep.
Okay. Well, I'm judging from the easement that's proposed that you're looking at the trail being on the north side of the railroad bridge. That's fine because the south side, Arkema and McCormick Baxter, definitely have some real problems environmentally
on it. It's the south side of the railroad bridge, the north side of Wacker Siltronic.
Excuse me, sir?
It's the south side of the railroad, north of Wacker Siltronic facility.
I'm looking at the right. As I look at the photo there, that is the northerly side of the bridge.
Fair enough.
Okay.
What's the point you would like to make?
That also seems to show the distance where the easement is, and I guess the biggest question I have is in terms of viewing one wildlife, but also accommodating the trail within that easement. Are we looking at a superstructure for the trail? Or are we looking for a fill, that type of thing? And that, I mean, there's costs involved, but is the easement wide enough there to accommodate not only the trail, but wildlife habitat? So I thank you very much for this time.
Thank you, Mr. Salinger.
It's been a long day, so you have my written comments already. And the only thing I would add to them is that I do think these two agreements that you're looking at today do stand in very stark contrast. And I really think when we do these kinds of things, we should aspire to something that really does meet the landscape objectives for that parcel. I don't think we've done it here. I think we can say that we've done that on the University of Portland. So I think that standard is the one that I hope you look at going forward. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right. Is there a council discussion with staff on 1511? All right. We return on December 1st at 2 p.m.
3:30
p.m., where we'll be attaching emergency clauses to these ordinances. I just want to make sure I got this right. Sorry.
Yes. It's my understanding that you are moving these to second reading, and those will take place on December 1st. We will also introduce an ordinance to change the effective date, and we'll do that as an emergency on December 1st.
Okay. That will basically change the effective date for all the other pieces of legislation. Great. All right. We're in recess until 3 o'clock tomorrow. Thank you all. Yep.
Long day.